Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I think if time permits, we're going to take the Lord's Supper after this. And leading up to that, I want to do something that some of you are probably going to say, oh, no, not again. But we're going to talk about forgiveness. What I'm finding out, not just, and that's because I talk to the people here, but I talk to Christians and pastors all over the place, and there's either a great misunderstanding of the importance of it or a great misunderstanding of what's involved. See, I think there's a lot of people, and this is what I see when I talk to them. Well, I've forgiven so-and-so, and I'm even talking ministers and pastors and five-fold ministers. I say, well, yeah, I forgave him. I said, yeah, you, because I know some of them and know the circumstances. Yeah, you forgave him, but what are you saying and doing now if you've forgiven him? In other words, we speak it with our mouth and we think it's done. But the issue, it's a heart issue. So in other words, your heart has to change. I don't care if you confess it 10 times. If your heart's not changed to him, you've not forgiven him. You know, and it's really interesting because I'm going to do this a little differently than things I've done in the past. But, you know, a number of years ago, when I'm going to say maybe 7 or 8 or 9, when you get to be my age, the years go by so fast. It could be 5 and maybe it's 10 even. I don't know. You're all laughing, but when you get to be my age, you know that that's what happens, right? But anyway, a number of years ago, 7, 8, 9 about, I was praying and the Lord spoke to me. Now, this is going somewhere, so you probably wonder, I'm off track, but I'm going somewhere with it. He said to me, what are you worth? I'm thinking, is that really the Lord? What are you worth? So, right away, my brain starts going through scriptures real fast, trying to figure it all out. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I said, well, Lord, I'm embarrassed to say this, but Lord, I'm actually pretty valuable. He said, you're pretty valuable? I said, yes, sir. I said, the word said that you paid the price for me. And I said, so you're invaluable. So you paid that price for me. So that makes me pretty valuable. He says, that's right. I went, so what about Sherry? I said, well, Sherry says more. You paid the same price for her, that's right. And he said, what about Victor? I said, you paid the price for him. What about Eddie? Yeah, you paid the price for him. So what are they worth? I said, they're all invaluable. He went, now, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to come back. Now, we know Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16 says that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. You all believe that? Amen. Now, you're saying yes, but you all don't really agree with that. Some of you don't agree that you're wonderfully made, but you'll get there. But we say that, but the people that we have issues with, what we think are irregular, the ones we say we love, we don't love, but we really like, you're not so sure in what you're saying if they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Whether lost or saved, everybody's fearfully and wonderfully made because God perfectly made them for the purpose that he had for them. So if we're going to be in agreement with God about all things, we're going to be in agreement that everybody's important and everybody has a purpose and everybody is wonderfully and made, fearfully and wonderfully made. Does everybody see where I'm going? So at the same time, he says, everybody has great value. Everybody agrees with that, right? But now, extrapolate that to everybody you know. to your spouse, to your children, to your co-workers, to all the people you run into and you see, even the ones who you don't know are saved on the street or not, the things they're doing, you really wonder about them. Do you tend to think, what are they, losers? Or do you tend to think, well, maybe they're winners, potentially, but they just don't know God yet? Does everybody hear what I'm saying? We need to start looking through kingdom eyes all the time so that we see people as God sees them. Amen. Am I making sense? And when we are in agreement with God, with everybody, then we're fostering a unity rather than causing division. Does everybody see where I'm going with this? So, the devil comes to divide. We know that, right? What do you got up there? Oh, okay. 14. Okay. He's way ahead of me. See, Mark is good back there, isn't he?
Yep.
I mean, I'm stumbling here, and he kind of saves me a couple times here. Okay. But we know, and don't put it up there, that Psalms 133 talks about unity. But they can't have unity unless we receive everybody for who they are and try to see who they are. And hope for the best. Is that not so? So the devil wants to work against this. When we work against this, then without realizing it, we put ourselves in disagreement with God about what God's trying to do. Everybody follow? Everybody's awful quiet thinking, well, now what's he going to spring on us here? Huh? Well, I already told you where I'm going with this. But so, and then the other thing I'm going to say is this before I start. Jesus died for all of us. We said, right, Vandal? And Jesus also died when he died for all of us to take away sin.
Yep.
Right? So why do we, realizing he laid down his total life to do away with sin, then why do we play with it?
Come on.
Or why do we allow it? Now, people say, well, yeah, but we're not talking about sin. Yeah, we are, because we're talking about unforgiveness. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? You got to understand it's sin. It's not good. It's bad. God not only frowns upon it, he has some not so nice things to say about it. And yet sometimes we're willing to just let that stuff percolate in our minds and in our hearts because we think that we've been hurt or damaged or unfairly treated or whatever may be the issue. Is that right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to start with this because I'm not sure what order I'm going with this. Put up Matthew 22, verse 39. Now hear me, when I'm talking about this, the devil is always trying to divide and to separate. Isn't that not right?
Yep.
In fact, it says in Matthew 12:30 and Luke 11:23, it says, the house divided cannot stand, right? Well, what houses are we talking about? Well, first of all, I become double-minded, so my house is divided. Is that not right?
Yep.
Then in the family, we have problems not among the family and whatever, so the house can be divided. And then what about the church? But you see what I'm saying? So what's the house? The house are all these places where we have realms of authority, right? Okay, I think I want to go there right now. So look at this. People quote this all the time. Love the Lord your God, your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. it's just like singing songs. We can quote these scriptures because we want to learn how to quote scriptures and memorize them. So we memorize them, but it's like we say it in rote without really understanding the depth of what it's saying. Amen. This says, you shall love. That sounds like a command to me. Second great command. Like you don't have a choice. Well, look at it this way. Jesus, it says, as I was sent, I send you. Well, the truth is, Jesus loved everybody because he died for him. Remember? Father sent the whole world so Jesus would die for it. Right? So the truth is, he laid down his life for everybody. So it says in 1 John 3:16, we ought to lay down our lives also. So what does that mean? That means if we lay down our life, that means we can't be offended. Because have you ever tried to get a rise out of a dead piece of meat? You can say anything to it. You can cut it. And it doesn't complain. That's what we're supposed to be. All right? That's the only example I could give, Tony, real quick. I could think of for a second. That one came too fast. Okay, put Matthew 22:39, Becca. You shall love, that's a command, your neighbor as yourself. Now, the issue is this. If you have disagreement with God about you, then it's going to be hard for you to love your neighbor the way you need to love them. It's because you're going to love the neighbor as yourself. You have problems with your neighbor. Sometimes you have a problem with you, and sometimes you're looking for things in your neighbor so you don't feel so bad about you.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Hey, I'm not so bad, God. Look at that one over there. Are you sure you made that one? Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's your neighbor? Well, that's not just Christians. That's anybody that's near. If you look up the word, it's saying, really, everybody, your countrymen, anybody that's near to you is your neighbor, right? So that's lost or saved. So what he's saying, just like Jesus loved, I mean, the Father loved the whole world and sent Jesus, we need to love the whole world, right? We've been over this more and more. So the truth is, we love our neighbor as ourself. We have to, and if we have troubles with ourselves, we need to get healed because you can't love of God is not in you the way it should be. Some of these people are struggling with themselves. Still, the issue is you can get help, but you're going to stay in that hole until you ask for help. And we do that kind of ministry, so I'm going to go on. Okay. So let's look at what it says about some of the, look at some of these scriptures you've seen before. We're going to look at a little different and a few different scriptures too. Put up Matthew, the one everybody knows but nobody believes. Matthew 6:14-15. No, in fact, I'll tell you what. Start Matthew 6, verses 12 to 15. Because there's something that a lot of people have missed here too. Matthew 6:12-15. Look at this. Now watch what you all know this. It's the middle of what's called the Lord's Prayer, right? But look what it says. And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven past debts our debtors. Do you know you've been praying that? Lord, forgive me my sins, I forgive others. See, in other words, I'm looking for forgiveness, but what about this baggage here that I'm dragging, these dead people I'm dragging around here? Does everybody hear what I'm saying? It says, yeah, I'm going to forgive you because you've already forgiven them. Ooh. And do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen, amen. Watch this. For if, conditional. I ask people what this means all the time. And they say, well, you know, it means, if you really want to know, it means if you forgive, then you'll be forgiven. I said, and if you don't forgive, you'll not be forgiven. I said, well, what I'm asking you is, what does the second part mean? Well, I never thought much about it. I know you haven't. That's why I'm asking you. But if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Yeah, I know. I said, I know you know, but what does that mean? Well, I mean, God's a good God and he's merciful. I don't worry too much about it. Wait. What does it mean when it says you're not forgiven? I don't think a lot of Christians understand that. Well, God wouldn't do that. Yeah, but understand that's God saying that. I didn't say that. That's red words. Words written in blood. Red words. Well, what does it mean? I said, I don't know what it means, but I'm going to tell you this. I've told you a story I'm not going to tell you again, but because of this story, everybody that's terminally ill in hospice, when I go to them, I don't just ask them if they want to get saved, and if they get saved, then I sprinkle them, asking the Lord to count it as water baptism so they get baptized, but at the same time, I say, okay, I want to know who you got to forgive. Of course, when they're in hospice or terminally ill, they forgive anybody. But I do that because the Bible says you're going to stand before the Lord. And the Lord said, if you haven't forgiven, you're not forgiven. I don't totally know what that means. Maybe Victor does. He's smarter than I am. But I don't want to take the chance. I don't want to take the chance. In fact, I don't want to take the chance now. You can walk out of street, get hit by a bus, and... Well, I meant to forgive him, but I didn't have time to. You remember the story? I'm not going to tell you about the guy, Dennis, who was in the hospital. I won't go into a long story. But the Lord sent me back to the hospital. I went out to a room, and I sold this a few, I guess 8 or 9 months ago. Went up to the room, and there's a whole story about what happened initially. But the Lord sent me back, and it's crazy because I didn't know what it was going, and he almost forced me to go. Because I didn't understand what was happening. It was the Lord. That's me sometimes. Duh. But anyway, I go into his room and I said, coming up in the elevator, I said, I think I know why I'm here. Because coming up in the elevator, I've been waiting to hear the Lord. He hadn't said anything except I hear the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. I said, so Dennis? And he's sitting there, tubes coming out, all this, he mumbles, can't talk to him. I said, Dennis, I think the Lord said you need to forgive people. I said, yeah. I said, well, okay, let's do this. Write down the names. We go through the whole thing. And I put my hand on his head, and in the name of Jesus, I pronounced forgiveness. And when I said forgiveness, the whites of his eyes came up, and he flatlined. Wow. Now, I learned from that the Lord takes this seriously. Yeah. He knew he was going to take him. But he wanted me to get there before he took him so that he would stand before him, have that unforgiveness out of his life.
Amen.
So now I know that story and I read that verse. It makes me wonder, what happens if I go there with unforgiveness? I don't know. I'm not saying you're lost. I just don't know what that all means. Does everybody follow me?
Yes, sir.
If you have an answer, tell me. But I know I don't want to be there. See, I want to be a good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Okay? So let's look at a couple of these verses. I've already taken too long. Matthew 6 verses, we had that. Okay. No, Matthew 6 verses 12 to 15. That's what we have there? Okay, look at this. Forgive us our debts. Remember that because we're going to come to that term again. And that's what I want to say about this. Because what happens is technically speaking, when somebody does something or says something or you're unfairly treated, what happens, you get offended, but you're offended because they owe you.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Does that make sense? Owe you meaning it's like a debt. And they're in debt to you. Okay. Let's go to, we're going to come back to that in a second. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Oh, yeah, I like this. I love the word let. You know, it says, let your light shine, let this. He commands certain things. Then the let is really a command. Let this happen.
Yeah.
What that means to me is get out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Or get out of my way. I'm trying to do something here.
Yeah.
come into agreement with me about it. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, everybody has anger, and I'm a little bit ticked off, but I don't, when you, I think everybody's a little bit angry? Don't you get angry sometimes? Come on. It says let all, A-L-L. That means not the most. But it says all. That means you don't have to have malice. You don't have to have bitterness. You don't have to have anger. You don't have to have any of that. You have to let it go because the Holy Spirit in you wants it to go away and wants to take it. You just won't let it happen because you want to hold somebody in debt. And the power and the ability to do it is within you. Well, you don't understand. I can't forgive. Well, you can't forgive for either of two reasons. Either one, you're not saved, or two, you're in rebellion and refuse to let somebody go. Does everybody hear me? Let unforgiveness go. Become humble and die. Let him get away with it. In fact, don't do that. It says you're supposed to pray for him. Pray that the Lord fix him. Oh, and then we go, well, and Matthew 18:15 says, if anyone sins or sins against you, you go to him. The idea that you go to him is not to nail his butt to the pole. You go there after you've forgiven him to try and help him get beyond what he did to you and bring forgiveness to him. That's why it says if he agrees, you've won your brother. It's all about your brother when you come to him, not about you. Does everybody see that? If I love my brother as myself, I don't want him in trouble. I want to help him get out. Where was I? Oh, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God has also forgiven you. In other words, you've been forgiven. So forgive them. That's twice we've seen that, right? Okay. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Mark 11, verse 23 to 26. Oh, there's a lot of writing we got to cover there. Lord, is it red words again? So I'm not making this up. But the Lord says this, truly I say to you. Do you think he's trying to make a point? Okay. Whoever says this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it'll be granted him. You hear people claim this all the time. But it doesn't happen. I'll show you one of the reasons it doesn't happen. It will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray, ask, and believe that you have received them, they will be granted you. That's where people stop. It's what you call taking out of context. However, there's a condition lopped on that nobody really wants to pay attention to because it talks about whatever you pray for. Then it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Interesting, isn't it? In fact, they get so angry at God because they think the word says it that they need to forgive God because they're holding God in debt because you said it and you didn't do it. No, he didn't say it. There's a condition here. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything, even when you think it's a biggie, anything against anyone, lost or saved, anyone, yeah, but you, anyone? That's kind of like the word all. You know? We need to go to the Hebrew and see what the translation of those words are. I looked it up for you. All means all. And anyone means anyone. I don't want you to go out of here deceived. so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. This is the third time we've seen it. The Bible says by two or three things, something is true, proven true. This is three different scriptures from three different books written by three different authors. How did they all come up with this? It just so happens the Holy Spirit is in all of them, who is leading them to write the same thing with the same conditions. So that your Father in heaven will forgive you your transgressions. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your transgressions. This is getting a little boring now. It's the same thing being said over and over again. There's no escape, is there? You got to do it. You have to let it happen. The Holy Spirit in you wants to do it. Are you going to let him do it? I think you'll get the point. Now we're going to look at Matthew 18, verses 23 to 25. Now, this is important for several reasons. Look at this. This is what, again, this is white words here, but in the Bible, they're red words. Okay, so they're written in blood, right? Yep. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. You know, that's what really is happening to us. Accounts are going to be settled. See, people say, well, I have authority. I said, you have authority because you have a responsibility. And with responsibility comes an accountability. So if you want to hear good and faithful servant, you got to go back and see if you've been responsible to fill out or do what God wants you to do, because you're going to be accountable in the end. That's what happens at the judgment seat, right? To a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents, a huge amount, was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with the wife, children, all that he had. Now, the point I'm making here is that when we don't forgive, we owe somebody in debt. Right? But notice something else here. Because we said that. But notice what he said. Because he couldn't repay. Repay. He holds him. And because he's in debt, right? Now watch this. The man is evidently the head of his household. Is that, everybody follow that? Didn't we have a word that talked about somebody being the gate of the door? Which you have to understand, people understand authority in the families, that the head is the head, the father or the husband's the head. That doesn't mean that the father and the head are, is any more special than anybody else, but that's his responsibility he's going to answer for, and he's given authority to handle it. Right? Okay, now watch. But if he has unforgiveness, guess what's happened? He can be sold. He's going to pay a price for it. But who else pays the price for it? Okay, let's go to the next scripture. How about, let's see. How we done that one? I'll skip it. Oh, I know. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13. This is interesting. People say, well, how did you get here? I just turned the page in the Bible. Finally, this is Paul talking in Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Now, let me just say this. When we're in covenant with God, The word the Bible uses is abide, right? And when we abide, we're in as best we can with our hearts. We're not perfect. It's a heart issue. We're in covenant with God. So therefore, in covenant, we have access to everything, right? So, in fact, as we talked about, the second step in covenant ritual was exchange of the belt and the weapons, which meant all my enemies are your enemies, right? And vice versa. And all my strength is your strength and your weakness, right? So look at this. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. So covenant passage, we're supposed to be abiding in the Lord, right? And allowing him to strengthen us, right? See, this has to do with the armor we're going to talk about here. Because a lot of people don't understand. They say this prayer. They just quote this. They got to memorize about 10 verses, and they say it. And the devil laughs at them because they're saying it makes something happen. The issue is, I'm going to show you the one or two of them. The issue is, it says, be strong in the Lord so that you can stand. In other words, you're already supposed to be armored up so that you can stand firm, right? Which means we have to be in the Lord, abiding in the Lord. And if we are, certain things are going to happen.
Right.
It talks about the helmet of salvation. It's taking every thought captive.
Right.
Talks about guarding your heart and not letting words or actions or not to become offended. That's the shield of faith, and that stops the arrows. That's letting the Lord be strong for you and waiting upon the Lord and living in the Lord so that those things don't bother you. Does everybody hear me? So watch. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And that's what happens with unforgiveness. Who's our struggle against? Flesh and blood, right? But if you go to Revelation 12, for instance, it really, really, what it basically says is that those people that are offending you are puppets of the devil in a sense that he's using them to know how to get to you so that you're going to be offended. For our struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world force of this darkness, against the spiritual force of wickedness in every places, is against the enemy who has used people as a pawn to get to us. That's why we have to really be careful. What did Jesus say on the cross? It just blows me away. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you know what he said? I mean, he was abandoned. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was physically abused. He was physically beaten. He was spit on. He was humiliated. In fact, they're in the process of killing him, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To realize he said they know not what they do is they're deceived and they're blinded. And they all were lost even at that time. Which means we really got to be careful, because if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be unoffendable, saying, Father, just forgive them, for all they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing because it's the enemy working through them to cause them to do what they're doing. Even Christians that are damaged. And how many Christians are damaged? Most all of them. Right? Okay. Where am I here? Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Is there another verse? Is there another verse? Or is that it? Okay, it is. Go to verse 16, please. In addition, take up the shield of faith. People pray this prayer. I get up in the morning, I put on the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. And they walk out the door. And then somebody says to them, they get offended. Why is that? Because the truth is, that prayer did nothing. They should have had, when they walked out the door, they should have already taken care and cleaned their heart out and get to abide in the Lord so that they would recognize and see what's coming. The Lord would work with them to stop it. Not that it's not going to happen. It's that it's not going to destroy me. Does that make sense? In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. So that's what they are. They're flaming arrows coming at you. And it's like you can say, okay, come on, take them. And you just, next thing you got is an armful of arrows and your heart's burning. You got heartburn, right? from all these issues. And I won't go to the other one, but the other one was the helmet of salvation, which is take every thought captive. In other words, think like the Lord. Look through kingdom eyes. Sherry said to me years ago, this one time, I told her before when it happened, but it was years ago. We go into this store. I don't remember. I think it was a department store. And we're going up to the first counter, going by it. And let me tell you something. The one person was giving the other person a hard time. I'm looking over there like this. And Sherry looks at me and says, oh, boy, you know what? That person must really be hurting on the inside. How many times has somebody said something or done something to you and you're going to get mad at them, but you don't realize how hurt, how damaged, how needy they are on the inside, and out of their frustration, they're acting like they're acting. Does everybody follow me? See, we need to start looking like that. What really makes them tick? Why are they doing the things they do? They may not even know you. You know, you walk in and a guy slams the door in your face because he's mad. He don't know you. Is it you he's really after? No, it's whatever caused him to be angry, and that's the root of the fruit of his being angry. Right? See, the truth is, so why do we get mad at him? Especially if he's lost. You expect a lost person to abide in Jesus and understand what's going on? Bible says they can't even see the kingdom of God, right? Okay, where are we going next? Anybody learn anything?
Oh, yeah.
Put a Mark 3, 24 and 25. We mentioned it, but this earlier. Okay. All right, next put up 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Again, it's a covenant passage. It's to do with covenant with the Lord and everybody else. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. You ought to be careful, because when I counsel people, people say the darndest things to me and they don't understand what they say. And I have to be nice when I tell them certain things because I know they won't necessarily hear me. But well, I love God. Well, I know, but all things will work to my good. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
I said, no, in your case, all things aren't going to work to your good. That's why they're not. What do you mean? It says, for those that love God. Says, you love me when you keep my commandments. You're a very rebellious person. No wonder nothing goes right for you. Now, I can say that, and they're going to say, leave, right? So I kind of got to ease my way into that. Because they're not in a place where they're going to hear that. Well, it's the same thing with this. Someone says, oh, well, I love God. And hates his brother. See, people say to me, well, you understand, no, I don't have issues. I don't love that brother. I just like him. I don't love him. I said, well, tell me the difference. Why do you not like him? Because the standard is you're supposed to love him. Somehow that excuses everything. You ever heard that before? That's not what the Bible says. It says, if he hates his brother, what's the opposite of hate? Jesus loved the whole world. We love the whole world. Lost or saved, right? Listen, I'm talking to myself, too. This is something we're all working on. Okay.
Amen.
I don't know anybody has it 100% pat, but a lot of people are getting there. And hates his brother, he is a liar. This is what the Bible says. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God, he's not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him, that one who loves God should love his brother also. Why is that? Because we embrace Jesus and go into covenant with Jesus, right? And Jesus is already in covenant with the Father and Holy Spirit, so we're all in covenant together. So therefore, when we touch our brother, understand the brother or sister is a friend of God. And it says, even what you do to the least of these, you do to me, the Lord said. So what happens is that I make my brother my enemy, and that also makes God my enemy in that circumstance. Okay, we had enough of that before people start crying. This is going to be a little different. Huh? Look up Luke 6, verse 41 to 45. Now, you probably think this has nothing to do with it. Well, we'll see. Luke 6, 41 to 45. Oh, that's 31. Make it 41 to 45. That'll be too long. It's all good, though. Now, watch this. What's that?
He's repenting now. Go ahead.
Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye when you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Now, let me tell you something. People don't understand logs. The reason he used the word log, it's not like a splinter in your eye. The reason he uses it, because it's big, and it affects you much more than you think. And let me give you an example of logs. Do you know people that, well, I'll use this easy one. A lot of people are rejected, abandoned, betrayed, right? And because they have that, then they anticipate that's going to continue when they see people. So the log in their eye is the fear of abandonment, the fear of betrayal, the fear of rejection. Does everybody see that? We have a lot, because of our own hurts and damages, not like man-hating and woman-hating. Imagine how many people have that. Well, I don't really hate them. Yes, you do. You only got 19 judgments against them. Yeah, but I really like them. I said, well, you like them, but you don't love them. There's a lot of work there. But when we have things like that, it causes us to skew our vision. We're looking through that problem at other people.
That's right.
Hear what I'm saying? And sometimes we're projecting on people what they're doing and what they're being, and they're not doing that at all. Sometimes we're so sensitive that we're not tough anymore. What do they call it when you're thin-skinned? Okay? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your, that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log of your own eye? You can't even see clearly to know what's wrong with your brother, but you may even see what's wrong with your brother, but you can't see clear enough that he's hurting, and that's the reason why it's like that.
Exactly.
This makes sense.
Yep.
You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye. See, we got a lot of people that come in for personal ministry, and it takes the issues and so they're not looking through their issues at other people. Is everybody follow? And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of someone else's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit. Nor on the other hand, a bad tree producing good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather. Okay, well, remember. But does everybody see what happens there? See, if I'm a good tree, then I have to have the logs out of my eyes. So I can see and walk, and there's going to be fruits of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to... I'm just going to... This is a simple one. This one's not hard. This one will make you easy. It's happy. This applies really too. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Now the 12 were sent out by Jesus, and in Matthew 10 it talks about them being sent out. Watch this. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God's at hand. We're talking about the kingdom of God, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead, tons of lepers, cast out demons. Freely receive, freely you give. What is the cost of forgiveness? The Lord died for the sins. He died freely. It didn't cost us anything, did it? Didn't cost anything. Well, if we're going to receive that, like everything else, we have an obligation to give it. You see that? Okay. Put up 1 Corinthians 11, because we're going to do the Lord's. You've got enough time. Do the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 30. We've all seen this. Maybe you'll see it a little different now. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Paul says, freely I receive, freely I give, right? That the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you, this in remembrance of me. So what we see is that we're going to see the bread and the wine are a memorial, right? But it's a covenant memorial. So we're celebrating the covenant the Lord made, which means we're rejoicing with him in the covenant. So we got to be careful to make sure we're abiding in him and not being a hypocrite receiving the Lord's Supper. Does everybody see this? So but when the Bible says you can't love God and hate your brother, if you have problems with your brother, then you're sitting celebrating, saying, I love God. No, you don't love God. You've already touched someone else, so therefore, what you do, the least you should do to me, so there's a blockage between you and God even. Does everybody see that? Okay, I'm going to finish reading. I don't know what's up. Is 23? Yeah, it's up there. In the same way, he took the cup and after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me. Everything has to do in remembrance of him and what he did and that he died for our sin and forgave us. We're all agreeing with that, right? But we don't want other people to have that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim what he did at the cross. He forgave our sins. And we need to forgive others' sins so that we will be forgiven, right? And he forgave the other people's sins. The blood of Jesus was big enough for their sin, right? Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So the man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he doesn't judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number sleep. Now, somehow this has been forgotten, but what I do, when I told you what I do with terminally ill in hospice patients, I lead them to the Lord, baptize them, even if they're laying in bed, sprinkle them and ask the Lord to count it as immersion. Lead them in forgiveness, right? And then I ask them, whether you understood or not, you do now. Have you ever taken the Lord's Supper unworthily? People say, well, why do you do that? Listen to what it says. For this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number sleep. Isn't that interesting? Everybody's quiet. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take the Lord's Supper. However, we're going to take a little time because if there's anybody that you have any issues at all, even the ones you don't love but you like, you need to deal with those things right now. Amen. If not, you might want to leave before we take the Lord's Supper. Last time I did this, it was nice. I said, okay, we're going to take the Lord's Supper next week. You all remember that?
Yeah.
No, we're going to do it this week because you've had warning before. So, Lord, I just pray right now for everyone here. You said, Lord, that if we forgive, we're going to be forgiven. You said, Lord, we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters as ourselves. Lord, we also know we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, Lord, we just ask right now that you would help us where we've been rebellious, where we've been stubborn of heart because somebody owes us. Lord, we put this now under our feet. We refuse now to hold on to this anymore. Lord, we're going to let go and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants in our heart. So, Lord, I pray that you would show them now. Anybody they're not in right relationship with, lost or saved, family, co-worker, people they know, one acquaintances, whatever. If there's anyone, there's any question about, Lord, show them right now. Do a deep work in their heart that they can be released once and for all. In Jesus' name. Siki sitia soto. Uya baba basita rabasiti ananamasi. Uya basiti ananamasi. Let me tell you something. If a face comes up or a name comes up, don't reject it. We've asked the Holy Spirit to show you. You just don't want to deal with it. Or you said, I've dealt with it. He's trying to show you you haven't dealt with it. Now's the time to deal. Sukuya sa papasita rabasi. Kiria nanabasoto risiti. Iha ha soto kuku isiti ananabasi. Uya bababasoto riasiti. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Uha sa pasata tara. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Let me say this. There may be a necessity for you to call someone that there's been issues with between the two of you, know it, and release them. Because let me tell you what happens. You can forgive, and you say that, but they're still in bondage because of the argument or whatever's going on. You need to humble yourself and tell them, I forgive you or not, so that they can be released. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's pass out the elements for the Lord's Supper. Anybody learn anything?
Yes.